ఏవం కయేన మనసా మనోగతం పరిచాయమానో భగవాన్ భక్తిమాన్ పరిచాయా ఏవం thus kayena
kayena
by the body
manasa
by the mind
vachasa
by the words cha also
managatam
simply by thinking of the Lord paricharyamana engaged in the devotional service Bhagavan the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhaktimat according to the regulated principles of according to the regulating principles of devotional service Paricharyaya by worshipping the Lord Pamsam Amayinam Samyam Vajatam Bhavavardhanaha Shreyo Dishyatya Vimattam Yad Dharmadishu Dehina Paricharyaya Please repeat Paricharyaya
by worshipping the Lord
Pungsam
of
the devotee
Amayinam
who is sincere and serious Samyak perfectly Vajatam engaged in devotional service
Bhava
Vardhanaha
the
Lord who increases the ecstasy of the devotee
Shreyaha
ultimate goal Dishyati bestows Abhimatam
desire
Yat
as
they are Dharmadishu
regarding
spiritual life and economic development Dehina of the conditioned souls Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anyone who thus engages in the devotional service of the Lord seriously and sincerely with his mind, words and body and who is fixed in the activities of the prescribed devotional methods is blessed by the Lord according to his desire. If a devotee desires material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification or liberation from the material world, he is awarded these results. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service is so potent that one who renders devotional service can receive whatever he likes as a benediction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls are very much attached to the material world, and thus by performing religious rites, they want the material benefits known as Dharma and Artha. Quite a short report. And of course this is the continuation of this very intriguing and informative and important pastime of Guru Maharaj. And we'll try to discuss a little bit about this subject matter this morning. Om Jnana Timananda Syam Jnana Jnana Shravayana Chakshur Militam Kena Tasman Shri Prabhupada actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed this pastime, along with the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, particularly in Sangha, in form with devotees in general. He wouldn't discuss much in public about the more, same, deeper forms of relationship. His purpose to establish the connection with Krishna. by understanding the process of connecting and acting in devotional service in that mood, becoming a servant of Krishna. But really, would Lord Chaitanya, not in public, if ever, discuss anything much beyond that? That was a subject matter which was usually confidential. The preliminary understanding of the process of devotional service, the sambandha gyan, the knowledge of our identity, the nature of the absolute truth, let's say the relation between the living entity and the absolute truth, and then introduce the means to realize that relationship. The process in this case, emphasized here by Narada Muni, is devotional service. In different ages, devotional service takes different forms. We're going back a long time, giving this process to Dhruva Maharaj, and I guess everyone is familiar with the story of Dhruva Maharaj and how he ended up in this situation. He's still receiving directions by good fortune. Good fortune means one has the opportunity to meet a representative of the Lord. And of course we have to take advantage of that good fortune. That's all there is to it. Narada Muni is given, tested through the Maharaj, and then he's given him various instructions to be, if he wishes to achieve his objective goal. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, even if one has an objective goal, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he's noted as being a devotee who approaches the Lord in need of material wealth. He wants to obtain a kingdom greater than his grandfather, great-grandfather, the greatest kingdom, which he eventually gets because he followed the instructions of Narada Muni very faithfully. He actually became purified, but aside from that, he received his desire, fulfillment of his desire also. So when one approaches Krishna in this way, sometimes Krishna does, he gives the return. We want something like that, like a child, and then following you, lucky his good fortune was in Narada, and he had his good fortune of working with the Darshaka Guru, with his mother, Sumiti, and now he's about to leave home and follow the instruction, but he's so determined. He looks at the example in devotional service of achieving one's objective goal. One has to be determined. Determination is very most important, practically speaking, one of the most important characteristics required in the execution of devotional service. Has to be very determined. That means no termination. Determined. No termination. Not stopping. Unflinching. He didn't flinch. He didn't think. Oh, okay. Well, I'll take a break. I've done a lot of austerities today. Now it's time for a break. He didn't think like that. You know, sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we have the idea that it's like, well, we're not so advanced, it's understandable, but sometimes we think that we're going to take a break, whatever it is. We may, because of our particular situation, level of advancement in Krishna consciousness, but pure devotional service is unalloyed, unbroken, hoitikiyapati in time. It is without any motivation, it's unceasing. It doesn't have any break. That is what really captures, I can say, and the full attention of the Lord, even if one has, because he was a child, he didn't know, his knowledge was very sure, he was simply, as he's already explained, affected by the circumstances which he was faced with, and he was determined, with that Kshatriya blood, he was determined to fulfill what he considered was, his right, his need. We're very determined, especially have this very strong determination to attain their objective goals. Nothing can get in their way, they're very determined. In devotional service, we can learn from Dhruva Maharaj how determined he is to attain his goal, even though in his case it appears to be rather a materialistic objective. We learn the positive lesson of determination. Any material world also generates people to attain a goal. They have to be very, very determined. Now, how to develop that determination in devotional service? We were fortunate, all of us here, fortunate in the sense that we've had the good fortune, causeless mercy, of coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, the succession. They've given us instructions. Srila Prabhupada has given us practical instructions, just like Narada gave practical instructions to Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada has given us practical instructions according to time and circumstance to follow, how to have the determination to follow those instructions. We're also faced, Guru Maharaj, with a different age, maybe in Satyuga, whatever it was, different situation. He's going to the forest, to Madhavana, wherever it is, to perform devotional activities near the banks of the Jamuna in Vrindavan, and there he performs his meditation, very austere form of meditation, you could say. But for Satyuga, that was the recommended, Satyuga was the recommended methodology, which is not very easy. Srila Prabhupada gave us a similar instruction. If you want to fulfill all your desires, okay, Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Prabhupada said it fulfills all the desires, but not just the flickering desires of this material world. Krishna conscious devotional service fulfills the heart, the soul's inner desires, ultimately. Maybe there's a, in our chanting of Hare Krishna, which is our goal, to attain Shuddhanam, pure chanting of the holy name, and awaken our eternal, pure, loving relationship with Krishna. But if one chants offensively, still it is said that one will receive material benefits, material results. And eventually, and one may take some time, but one will come to one's senses and realize that's a futile objective. If one considers artha or economic development or karma, fulfillment of sensual pleasures as the goal, then one's considered to be rather foolish. But still, if such persons approach Krishna, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, four types of persons approach me, and amongst them are the distressed and those who are seeking material wealth, like that, inquisitive. But the better is those who are searching after knowledge. And in the case of Guru Maharaj, he's not exactly appearing to be searching after knowledge, but he's very much desiring material economic wealth, economic success, etc. In this case, kingdom. So people pray to God, they pray, they perform yogis as well, etc., because they're very attached to the material world, and their general objective is to obtain some material term, whatever form it may take. The devotees of the Lord are very kind and expert. That's like Narada Muni trick the people in general. He tricked Guru Maharaj. Guru was unaware of what was the ultimate result. He did get the ultimate result by the grace of Narada. If somehow or another in one's path of approaching the Supreme Lord, even if one has a material objective, when someone gets the mercy of a pure devotee and follows his instructions, then Krishna bestows a different kind of mercy upon him. Because the will of the devotee is so powerful. The will of the devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, as Martinet Bhagavat Dharma prayers, prays that, by your will, my Lord, they may be delivered from this world. And then Prabhupada said, it's my will that you deliver them. Please make their understanding suitable so they can understand. Please have mercy on them. That their understanding may be suitable so that this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, they will be able to understand this message. It's the mercy of the Lord, but that mercy of the Lord is due to the mercy of the devotee. When the devotee is merciful towards someone, it's inevitable the Lord will shower his mercy. That mercy may come in different ways. Sometimes the Lord then thwarts or seems to impede the intention of the neophyte devotee, and we don't get material. We get, first we get angry sometimes. We don't get what we want. Why am I not getting respected? why am I not getting my desires fulfilled? Why is this happening to me? And so on and so forth. This is an ending. If the Lord is reciprocating that way, and it's sometimes hard to understand, but he's reciprocating in a way to help deliver us from the false purpose of the personal, let's say the materialistic approach, the mixed approach. The pure devotees want us to come to pure devotional service. So they sometimes trick us. So if we gave a path of devotional service, and Dhruva Maharaj had to fix his mind firmly upon chanting the holy names of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and withdrawing himself entirely from all kinds of material faults, everything, and thus he became purified. So the methodology, chanting the holy names from the focus, purifies our heart. He received as many occasions. I think it was Govinda Ramanuja's cousin. He was a married man, but he wasn't interested in married life, so they family were asking, and they please ask him to do his duty as a married man, have some children and this and that. So I thought, okay, I'll give him a mantra which he would chant. He gave the mantra, and Govinda became so purified he had absolutely no interest whatsoever and gave up family life. He became purified. And of course, you could say a trick. The devotees trick the devotees sometimes. Pure devotees. They have this process of tricking them. And there's so many examples of that. A positive and negative. Even Valmiki was tricked by Narada Muni in a sense. Chanting Mara Mara. But the chanting gradually purified his heart. He became purified. This is the nature of devotional service. By serving a devotee, is freed of all vice, great service is done. And that service must start to develop an attraction. And that attraction, when it starts to develop an attraction, messages or the sound of the holy name, then automatically that the desire for material fulfillment starts to dissolve and becomes clear from the consciousness by the association of Krishna. The more we're determined, the more we're focused in our devotional practice, and the more we're associated, making effort to knowingly or unknowingly associate with Krishna. And we try to be attentive in the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. I mean, maybe it's mechanical, maybe it's some other motivation in the beginning, but we're making the effort, even if it's a challenging effort, no doubt. The mind may wander, or studying the Shastra, hearing Bhagavatam class, rendering particular kinds of services, deity worship, etc. We're trying to focus on our service, which is another form of mercy. The Lord appears in these various merciful ways to give us his association, but is it only made available? The key is the mercy of the pure devotees. So Narada Muni's mercy is the real key. And in our case, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada is the key. And Prabhupada one time said, my mercy are the instructions which I'm given. So we take these instructions. Prabhupada's determination was fired. Charged up, ignited more. When he read the purport of Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur on the Bhagavad Gita, you have a Siddhartha here, okay, Kulanandana, a famous verse in the second chapter, where the Lord speaking to Arjuna, the one who is on his path is resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. The loving child of the crews. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. And they have many objectives. Of course, if they're fortunate to approach the Lord, they may not approach him in the right way, their sentiments. So they go through various material ups and downs until we actually approach the Lord in the proper way. But they're pious, so they get some benefit initially. and that piety will eventually give them the chance to associate with the pure devotee of the Lord. They take advantage of that, we take advantage of that, then one can transcend these secondary objectives, which are very foolish, you know, to ask for a material thing when one approaches the Lord. It's not very intelligent. And so the Lord, knowing this, this foolish devotee may still, the Lord may or may not actually be fortunate, he's approached a devotee of the Lord somehow or another and is following. The Lord may not fulfill those material desires if there are obstacles on the path of devotion or service. Because he really wants to, what does the Lord want? What will really satisfy the soul? It's not, you know, some temporary heavenly positioning or even liberation or good position in this world. Will satisfy the soul like a child lost from its parents is when a child is reinstated in the association of its parents. It's only natural. So Krishna wants us to be happy. Pure devotees want everyone to be happy. And even their apparent chastisement or whatever they may say, like it was only for the purpose of trying to awaken us from our foolish dream-like endeavors in this material world. Try to bring us to our senses, to try to bring us to the point where we realize the goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Because that is the purpose of our existence, to bring pleasure to Krishna. Going back to Godhead means that we reinstate in our constitutional position of bringing nothing, of no other object, of being one with the Supreme Lord. In other words, having no other desire other than to please the Lord's desires. This is devotional service. So by following a pure devotee, even we may be neophytes, we may be neophytes or whatever we are, is to actually bring us step by step to that point of realization. And that's the whole purpose of the practice of devotional service. It's very, very powerful. Narada Muni himself, who's instructing Dhruva Maharaj here, describes that path very nicely when you had the opportunity. You can read in the first canto in the fifth chapter how he had the opportunity to associate with the Bhakti Vedantas, and in their association, all due to association, our advancement in devotional service, even the awakening of determination in our hearts, is all due to association. And that association, the instructions of the spiritual master, the Prabhupada described the translation of the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that verse we just mentioned. And he describes that the instruction of my spiritual master is both my sadhana practice and my sadhya, my goal. It is all that matters to me, even if I am sent to hell, wherever I go, it doesn't matter in one sense, because he's completely embracing, as Prabhupada said, the instruction of the spiritual master is our life and soul. It is. It's that which, for the soul, this will bring life. It will awaken the actual nature of the soul. We take seriously, foolishly, with a little bit of advice how to apply the instructions of the spiritual master in our lives, and we can also make progress on that path. Yes, there will be some apparent obstacles, but they're not really obstacles. They're just different situations to help us to take seriously, more seriously, devotion. So opportunities to become more determined in our devotional practices. Because we realize that without the mercy of the pure devotee, without the mercy of Krishna, we cannot. We cannot possibly overcome this very difficult to overcome material energy. It's very, very strong. Only by the mercy of Krishna, we're taking shelter of Krishna. Can it be overcome? This will rise beyond this material world, this material consciousness, which even now may be affecting us. This is constant practice, this is determination, despite the fact that there are so many, sometimes even causes you can justify from a conditional point of view, desisting from one's activities, whatever it may be. If we determinedly carry on that practice, even if we don't know exactly what's going on, we don't know the outcome exactly, why this is happening. With the determination and the association of devotees, we continue to cultivate the practice to take shelter of the holy names. So that determination factor of Guru Maharaj, many lessons to learn, of course, because one is, and one that is all the devotional services, Guru Maharaj lost all interest in the kingdom. He became totally purified, practically speaking, as the Bhagavatam says. Practically to nil, he lost all interest. His anartas were practically removed by properly executing the instructions of the pure devotee and absorbing himself in his then form of devotional service, which is not so externally practical for this age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, the Lord has made the same objective possible in a very easier way, a very suitable way for this age, simply in the performance of Sankirtan in its various forms, the glorification of the Lord through dancing and chanting and the holy names. It's so beneficial. Even in the venue we were reading yesterday, or the day before, in Perth, it was actually in Perth, I think it was Moga Prabhupada, somebody was asking, Prabhupada about the method of people who were just showing some sympathy, some favorable feelings towards the Sankirtan, even though they're not joining in, they may be thinking this is very nice. He was saying how 50, 100 people sometimes gather around the Harinam party. And so he was asking Prabhupada, and they're very fortunate. They will at least they'll get the next topic. If not in this lifetime, they'll get the opportunity in the next lifetime to take up devotional service just by being favorable towards the devotee, thinking favorably towards the devotee, the practice of devotion, whatever it is. They get so much benefits. In many cases, it's their agyata, sukriti, it's the beginning of their good fortune. Begins when they get that opportunity, even if they don't practically take it on. They get so, what to speak of those who do, or those who come and dance, even if they're dancing in jest, they may be even drunk, whatever they may be. They get so much benefit, or if they touch a book, or if they take prasadam and crossways, how much benefit? Prabhupada has asked that question too. If they take prasadam, Prabhupada said yes, they were guaranteed at least a human birth in the next life, and to continue in some way in devotional practice. It's the end, the beginning of the end, when they get that chance of associating with the devotee of the Lord. And if they're slightly favorable, even if they're not favorable, there'll still be eventually an effect. But if they're favorable, then it will be quicker, they'll get the next opportunity. And it's all auspicious, this Krishna consciousness, devotional service. It's all auspicious as the form of the Lord, and anyone who comes in contact with it, practically, I would imagine the majority of people on the planet have knowingly or unknowingly come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's movement, directly or indirectly, hearing the holy name somewhere, coming in contact with somebody who's got a book, seeing a book, and there's half a billion or more books, I don't know how many books have been distributed, a lot of things, half a billion or more, books all over the world, in all the various continents and all over the news and in the media and so many places, people are exposed to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, so that there's the beginning of their good fortune is there. But if you want to attain the full, let's say the full mercy, complete goal of returning back to Godhead for the pleasure of Krishna, which is what devotional service means, it means living or activities which please Krishna. As a child, or maybe childlike, so we're just trying to learn to walk, trying to learn to do things properly according to our parents' directives. Certainly we're trying to practice devotional service in a way which would please Krishna, under the direction of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, devotees, etc. Follows that, how to get that determination to follow that process. Key by associating with those who are determined, by hearing about those who are determined, or the Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes in Bhakti Aloka how we should hear about great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, others Haridas Thakur, and how determined he was never to stop chanting. By hearing about this, it helps to awaken a determination of Lord's Bhaktivinoda. One can develop determination, courage, and satisfaction, so that one doesn't have any desire for any other kind of so-called objective or pleasure. One develops a higher taste for Visharavidvartatini Rahama Siddhin Vasavajam 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 Vasavajam. One develops a higher taste. Only by experiencing a higher taste can we become free of the lower tastes. So that's the process of devotional service, that we have to open the lid, so to speak, the Prabhupada says, and taste the honey, the sweet honey of devotional service. And that sweet honey can be tasted satam prasankam on a very hungry day. Bhavanti vidkana saina katama. That taste can be experienced, grasp of that pleasant taste in the association of devotees. Correct. It doesn't mean we stand, we associate and talk about mundane affairs and call it sangha, sadhu sangha. It means we associate with Krishna, desire in the center of Srila Prabhupada's instructions as our guide in our association, and to try to churn, try to see how we can encourage others to engage in service, how we can remind others of Krishna. We have to be ourselves engaged, we have to remember ourselves, obviously. So to cultivate that in the association of devotees is the purpose of this movement, to facilitate this opportunity where people can come. They're not going to go to the forest, generally speaking, and say, Kali, like Guru did. But the material was already a forest, much more dangerous than the jungle. And this temple here in Melbourne is an oasis, and there are many oases, and people's homes can be oases also. The restaurants, the crossways, the Gopals. Wherever a devotee goes, he's like a little tirtha, like an oasis in this jungle. The books are oases. They give people a little bit of real belief, knowing or unknowing. So that's the purpose of this movement, to awaken, relieve people from the causes of misery, just like we see in Nectar Devotion, that Shubhada, the devotional service, is the brings fulfillment, happiness, although most people think happiness means material happiness, but ultimately it brings the highest happiness, and it's also pleasure. It removes all distress. For most people, they think that means no more broken legs, no more toothaches, no more dying, no more misery of the mind, or other causes of suffering in this world, etc. Try to do away with cancer and everything else that causes so many problems in this world. Whatever it is, economic things. They may think like that, but the actual cause of suffering is not that. The cause is we think that we can, Well, we're in ignorance. The cause of suffering is ignorance. The devotional service removes ignorance. That's one of the primary initial effects of devotional service. One is, what is that ignorance? One thinks of one's fulfillment is a material one, to attain material success, to attain material results. You try to enjoy separately from Krishna. This is the general tendency of the conditioned souls and the earth. But that is not really going to make the soul happy. It won't satisfy the soul. The soul can only be satisfied by surviving Sampurodha Morito Bhaktiya 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 Bhaktiya. When we're engaged in a Bhaktiya Bhaktiya Bhaktiya, when our devotional engaged in activities for the pleasure of the Lord, and unmotivated, uninterrupted. So to cultivate that, Anudinam, Kinyarada Anudinam, Buddha Goswami says it. Right down to the root, you have to clear out the root. The root is this ignorance, this desire. All the problems are still based on this ignorance. So by hearing knowledge, we're hearing from the right sources, that when the ignorance is removed, then naturally our determination to execute devotional service will also be ignited and will also become inflamed eventually, will blazing fire, will burn up, not just the reactions. When we say reactions to sinful activities, it also includes the awakening of the desire to continue to perform a variety of material activity. That's also a reaction from a previous connection with the material world. So all this can be cleansed away by pure devotional service. Kajit Kevalya Bhakti, I'm not today with one, Bhansi Kastan, Viharam, Thus Gavahat. Just as the sun cleanses everything by its powerful rays, simply devotional service. Well, it's very rare to engage in full devotion, pure devotional service, but we have this great fortune. Burns up to the, right to the root, Gandham Bhansi Kastan, all desire. The material objectives, all material desires, whatever they are, can be burned away. And even if they do come, as Prabhupada says, as long as we have a mature body, mature desires will come, just like as long as we walk on the streets, Swanson Street or whatever street we walk on in Melbourne, we're going to be exposed to all kinds of material temptations and people who have are definitely trying to attract others' attention in various ways. And the whole society is based on this, attracting people's attention for whatever reason. And those attractions may be there, but for a devotee, he's not interested. They're not interested. Female, we're not interested. Because one's focused on one's service, one's focused on a holy name, one's focused on distributing books or distributing prasadam or reaching one's objective to render service or whatever it may be. One is not distracted. Or carried away, even though the temptation may be there, we keep pulling it back towards Krishna, towards our service, etc. And that is very hard unless we get the association of the Lord. So that is very important to nurture this pure devotional service, or unmotivated devotional service, in the association of devotees. That's what this movement's for, to give people this opportunity to get relief from the causes of distress, not just the reactions of their material activity in terms of suffering here and now, but the very cause itself, who is still aspiring for a material result. And we don't necessarily dive straight in the deep end, probably, so we don't bother with these things in the beginning directly, but we just try to get people to chant, to take prasadam, to some or another begin their devotional service, and gradually, you can progress towards pure devotional service as Prabhu Maharaj did, by the grace of God, and lose this desire. Just like sometimes, I'm reading also yesterday, Prabhu saying that, yes, we can have marriages in their temple, even for the outsiders. They can have their own priest, Prabhu was saying. We will cater as long as they pay. That was going on and on like this. Two long conversations. As long as they pay. But they must engage in kirtan, and they must take prasadam, which has to be cooked for us. And this way they will gradually become purified. That's another technique of bringing people in, and then purifying the trick, transcendental trickery. It's like a crossways that come in winter of the hot custard and halibut, whatever you give them. And they're tricked, they don't know what is, this taste is so good, but they're actually becoming purified. Transcendental trickery. Going on, dance and chant, and we don't speak when we stop the Harinam. Sometimes we give a little speech. We don't speak about any philosophy. Hey, who wants to be happy?
Yeah.
Okay, give it a go. We're really happy. This is a really good way, easy way of becoming happy. Just join us, sing, dance with us, and be happy. It's really fun. We can all sing and dance together. Let's go for it, boys. And then, people. Relax, you have to get into all the details of the philosophy, unless they're really quite mature. Some way of tricking people into the Sankirtan, which Chaitanya did this in many occasions, trick people into Krishna conscious, practically speaking. Okay, so on that note, we're going to have another trick in a few minutes. It'll be breakfast prasadam time, which is certainly a trick which Srila Prabhupada has introduced on a mass scale. And it's one which we're very happy about. Everyone's happy about that trick. No matter who we are, people like that one. The philosophy sometimes eludes us. But if we're able to become Krishna conscious, then of course we have to go beyond that stage. and determine new practice there. Sadhana, of course, to what it is. Feel Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes, Prabhu, what is your name?
Krishna.
Name is Krishna, that's a nice name. You're very kind, you're purifying everybody you meet, they say Krishna. Yes, Krishna. Prabhu.
Krishna has infinite qualities.
Infinite qualities, yeah.
Then why are 64 only told?
Why only 64? Very good question. Nectar devotion is these 64 primary qualities mentioned of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has unlimited qualities. Within each and every one of those qualities, there are unlimited varieties of the particular quality. These are the primary 64 qualities. There are many, many unending qualities beyond and above that. These are just 64 auspicious qualities which are mentioned. And you, being part and parcel of Krishna, can also possess 50 of those qualities in minute, comparatively speaking, minute way also. Devotional service awakens those qualities within the pure soul. They're reflected, perverted in the material. So, if you had to hear of the unlimited qualities of Krishna, you never reach the end. So we have to have something which we can relate with and meditate upon. So these are Sendrupa Goswami has presented these as the 64 specific qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Even Narayan possesses 60 of those qualities, not different forms of the Lord, but only manifest certain qualities. And the jiva also has a certain number of qualities in a certain percentage. So it's something that you can meditate upon. The Lord appears in such a way that we can actually approach Him. Otherwise, even though Brahma, even though the creator of this universe, the Parama Guru, in disciplined succession, you could say, the original Acharya in disciplined succession, is bewildered by the qualities of the Lord, how unlimited they are. So then you can sense things. It's like in your school, the teacher only presents up to a certain point which you can understand. And then when you've understood that, then more will be revealed. So one is actually advancing in spiritual life will see unlimited qualities within qualities within qualities within qualities. It will go on and on unendingly. Each of these qualities is an infinite, in fact, in its own nature, expanding in so many ways. Try to just take what we've got first of all, the beginning of the beginning, but it's there in the nectar of devotion. It's very wonderful. Try to meditate on those wonderful qualities. It will become very purified. Our qualities will start to become purified. And devotional qualities will start to manifest, and one will start to see a revelation of more and more wonderful qualities in Krishna. So many different ways we can see the qualities of Krishna appearing in everything, everywhere. Even through other living entities, we'll see Krishna's qualities coming through. In other words, his qualities are everywhere. They are everywhere in creation. Material, spiritual, Krishna's qualities are manifest. Thank you for confirming that. They're manifesting everything, even in a sneeze. We can see how Krishna's opulences are working, his power is working. And without the air, which is one of his energies, one cannot sneeze. The power of the air moving the various elements within the body to do the needful. Everything is Krishna's hand working. You can read, you're very intelligent, your voice should be very well and say guided nicely, very nicely. And you can read, if you're at that point, reading the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how to see Krishna's opulences and everything. And absolutely everything he manifests, because everything is a manifestation of Krishna's opulence. or his energies, everything. So his qualities are everywhere. Whatever we see is just, whether it's perverted through his, another is a qualities or manifestation, fulfillment of desires of his parts and parcels, both developing or creating this material world with modes of nature and everything, so the living entities are facilitated. This is what part of all the Lord's doing. There's no arguing. The material world only exists because of the desire of the living entity. It has no other purpose of existence. But it has a purpose beyond and above simply the perverted desire of the living entities to help us to return back to God. And so the Lord, in an end, Rupa Goswami in Act of Ocean gives us this, why the Lord appears, why the qualities of the Lord are mentioned, are all so that we have something to think about, to meditate on, objectives. Of course, Nam, name, form, Rupa, and the qualities come out to us. So we reach, understand the qualities when we chant the name, very purely, then the form of the Lord may be realized or revealed, and then the qualities also naturally manifest. So Rupa Goswami is giving us an indication of those unlimited qualities of the Lord, the primary ones in the nectar of devotion. Anything else? Yes, sir. What's your name? I'm very, very tired this morning. Everyone here is called Krishna. And all the ladies are called Radha. Good, it's wonderful to hear easy names to remember. Is your name Krishna as well? Why not? Papa said that about the cows. He said we call them all Saravi 1, Saravi 2, Saravi 3, Saravi 4. But it didn't really happen, but Papa did say that one time. Yes, Krishna 2.
If a person fixes his mind upon the Lord, how will the Lord bless him? Will he personally come or will he send a devotee to bless the person?
Oh, what a lovely question. Your voice is so wonderful. Questions you ask. If a devotee fixes his mind on Krishna, how will the Lord come? Will he personally come or will he send his devotee? Well, what do you think? How will you fix your mind on the Lord? What do you think? How is it that we have a chance to fix our mind? Take the world in general. How many people are fixing their mind on the Lord? It's only because the Lord is very merciful. He comes himself sometimes. When we say the Lord, of course, we sometimes think like as Krishna, or he personally came, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he personally came. He comes in other ways too. So when the devotee comes, Krishna also comes. They're not separated. When Krishna comes, his devotees also come. They're not separated. But Narada Muni carries the Lord all wherever he goes. He's a place of tirtha. We may not see Krishna. Krishna's not easy to see. It's not just a matter of some physical form which we can see with our blunt senses. But there are blunt senses that are Sri Krishna and Avadi, the Bhagavad Gita, and that say the Mukherjee Jiva does by the name of the Spirituality. We cannot see with these material senses the transcendental form of the Lord. But, however, by the mercy of the pure devotees, they give us the means whereby we can purify. So the Lord, generally speaking, he sends, or his pure devotees desire to come. And they appear to give us the means whereby our senses can become purified. So it becomes eligible to realize and see that Krishna is present already. He's already present. It's not that he's not present now. It's not like, you know, he's not here. He is here, but we cannot see him. One time Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, what is Vaikuntha like? And Prabhupada said, this is Vaikuntha, but you cannot see it. You're still seeing materially. And so the process of associating with one who can see is that our consciousness, our senses within our frame of this material body The conscious becomes purified, and we say this, the consciousness becomes pure, the senses become pure, we start to see things clearly and realize Krishna is present. He's present. Of course, in this way the pure devotee is very kind. He makes Krishna, even though people don't accept or know, in a sense, visible, because the deity form, people come, they see the deity, they don't know why, they may not even believe, but they get some mercy. They see a picture of Krishna. Why, who can have a picture of God? This is just material. They may say like that. Of course, that will say, holds up their advancement, but still they're getting some good fortune. Prabhupada told us in Africa, we just give everyone, we have these little wooden dolls of Gorni Thai. They look like little wooden voodoos, Gorni Thai. Give them to everybody. When we were going to the villages, give them to little black kids who were not following any principles whatsoever. If they just tell them, you know, they offer a flower and chant Hare Krishna, they'll get good fortune. Like they do this with voodoo in Africa. So in different ways, the pure devotees give us a chance to become eligible to see Krishna and to become purified. So either way, the Lord comes with his pure devotee. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to, you know, everyone, he wants to show himself to everyone. We just have to become purified. So, to meditate on the form of the Lord, who knows? Unless the pure devotee reveals it, the Shastra scriptures may reveal it. But there are so many things in scripture that the direction of the pure devotee is very hard to ascertain. To awaken and so the heart has to become purified. By the association of devotees, the Lord gives us an association. Yashya Prasada Bhagavan Krishna. Yashya Prasada Nagati Katobi. By the mercy of the Lord, we get a pure devotee association. By his mercy, we can get Krishna's association. So, for his mercy. So we have to try to see that the Lord may come in other forms, but we don't recognize him. He comes as death for everybody. We don't recognize him. He's present as time, but we don't recognize him. He's present everywhere. We don't recognize him. Pure devotee. Of course, he gives us teachings and philosophy, but he gives us the process whereby we can reveal it. It can be revealed. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, one who applies himself to this knowledge realizes this knowledge in due course of time. The revelation, Krishna gives that revelation. And when we actually follow the pure devotee, then the Lord reciprocates that. Surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. That means surrender to the pure devotee. So in most cases, the Lord can do anything he likes. But in most cases, it's the devotee. He sends his devotee to help as he did with Guru Maharaj, who is thinking, I've got to find out this God, wherever he is, this Vishnu, whatever it is. I've got to find him. So he was determined. He didn't know who he was. But then the Lord sent him down to direct him how he could achieve God. Hare Krishna. Anything else? What is your name?
Prana.
Prana?
Prana?
Prana. 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 I said Prana. I was going to put my glasses on. A friend, Prana, is bigger than that. Oh, another one. What's your name?
Venugopal.
What a nice name. You have a name?
Yeah.
Hayagriva, my goodness. Just meditating on your name, it should become good. Wonderful names. Vengapurva, Hayagriva, Ananath, Krishna. You have a question?
Yes, Maharaj, you mentioned, Bhakti mentioned, Bhakti Yoga, Krishna, so this is a form of the Lord.
Everything in that sense can be seen. Form, and say form in the sense that this is, it is not different than Krishna in one sense. Because Krishna is eternal energy, which manifests and is being revealed by the pure devotee, bhakti is given by bhakti in this material world. Is there a further problem with your question?
I guess for someone who's less intelligent like me, the form of the Lord is very attractive.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how devotional service can be.
How?
If you can expand on that, how devotional service can be seen as a form of the Lord.
Prabhupada describes, I don't know the exact verse of the Bhagavad Gita, but he says that generally speaking, our first attraction towards Krishna is towards his service. And in many cases, this devotional service has 9 primary limbs, as you know. And one of those is worshiping the Lord, their devotion and so on. But generally speaking, whatever form of service is, practical service is often the first thing. Krishna makes himself available through practical service. The reason why one gets a taste or attraction of practical service from the material perspective is less, of course, than selfless service. But still a little bit is there in the material. It's something better than nothing, even Krishna recommends that. But when we actually connect the pure devotee, engage in some practical service, training, etc., etc., this is usually, if we're actually, ready for the big bang, is usually the first thing we start to develop taste. And you see, the material world usually has to be a motivation of the material kind in order to continue with an activity. Usually, either getting praise or getting wealth or something from it. But in devotional service, it's just satisfaction is within itself. I mean, this is the form of self-satisfaction, form of Krishna, who appears in this way. And we also feel a little bit of that nature of Godhead, or that characteristic quality of Godhead, when we come in contact with devotional service, do it with the self, enthusiastically, without asking anything in return, cleaning the floor, washing the pots, cutting the vegetables. And it's fun. It's amazing, it's fun. If we, because then after a while, for whatever reason, we may think, well, what next? Get bored or something. But we do, we get some, generally speaking, that means we're ready, we're beginning, beginning our actual devotional service when we get some pleasure out of doing what is a normal activity in the first instance. I remember one lady, and she's got, she was initiated eventually. She, her son, up in Brisbane, was coming to the temple, and the family were Christians, and his son, he's a nice young man, simple man, young boy, and he joined the temple, and they were a bit taken aback. They were Christians, they thought this was a dangerous cult. So they were coming every week to the temple, and they were probably about 50-something. Every week they were coming to the temple, and they were very gentle, polite people, even though they didn't like what their son was doing. Their intention was to see how they could, convince him, maybe some of this is not the right thing to do. But they were very polite, they didn't come aggressively. And after weeks and weeks and weeks, one day the husband, the wife called her, they could come, go back home. The wife said, "Hussy, hurry up, we're running late." The husband was in the toilet. He said, "I'll be as quick as I can. I've got a, call of nature. Hurry up." So then he came, and they went up, and she said, "Well, I don't know what to say, because I'm not going to the temple anymore to get her son back. I quite like him," she said. "I'm developing a liking." He said the same thing. So they became more and more attractive, and after some time, the wife said, "Husband's working." She said, "Maybe I've got some spare time. Would you like me to do some service?" The temple commander said, "Well, we need all the windows cleaned on the temple building." He said, "I hate cleaning windows. I never do that. My husband, I always insist my husband has to do that. I just don't like it." He said, "Well, that's what's needed." She said, "Okay." And she started out an hour or two, whatever it took. She just came back, and she was beaming. She was so happy, so happy. The temple commander said, "Very nice, you've done a good job. I thought you said you didn't like cleaning windows." She said, "I don't know what happened, but today I felt happier than I'd ever felt cleaning windows. I don't know what happened." So I think it must be because they are Krishna's windows, she said. They must be Krishna's windows. She had the realization they are ordinary windows, because we can have that with everything. Prabhupada would go into gardens of ordinary people and turn off the tap. You know, he would do things like that sometimes, just to show us that everything is Krishna's. Nothing is ours. Devotional service means to realize and to engage everything in Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. We had one, she got initiated from her husband, they passed away many years ago. I saw their son a few weeks ago. But they got initiated also, they passed a long time. Wonderful. Okay, now in different ways people come, are attracted to Krishna in different ways. If you are attracted to the beautiful deity, you are very fortunate. If you are attracted to the sound of the holy name, you are very fortunate. If we are attracted to cleaning the floor, you are very fortunate to the temple. If you are attracted, somehow or another we've got to be attracted to working with beautiful verse on the board every morning, the Bhagavatam, whatever it is, we've got to be attracted to something related to Krishna. And even negatively, I remember one devotee, one person rather, in London, it was amazing. Portobello Road, we used to go for Harinam chanting on Portobello Road every Sunday morning. It's like a flea market, it used to be, in the West End. There was one man there, I have forgotten his name, but he did not like us, like, he really didn't like us. He was supposed to be a Christian, and he worked in a bank in London, and he hated us. There are many stories, like this is just one personal one. And he hated us, and he used to, you know, gather up rotten eggs, rotten tomatoes, and he would offer them to us every Sunday, and very from a far distance as well, he would offer them very enthusiastically. He would, you know, shower us with whatever rotten things he could do, together with a proliferation of beautiful English vocabulary, which is generally not used by people in normal language anymore. Different vulgar words would spew out of his mouth, which was nothing uncommon in markets, and nobody would ever object to it in those days. It was just a common thing. Anyway, this was going on for some time. We would try to avoid it, but he was very expert to find us. And anyway, his wife came one day to the market. She was absolutely shocked when she saw her husband going to this, you know, rather unusual mood. And she was shocked. She was a really sweet, gentle little Christian lady. And she got really angry, not angry with her. She said, "You can't do this. What are you doing? You know, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. They're worshipping the devil." It was going on. He should be, you know, banished. Anyway, they had a slight difference in perspective how to deal with it. But he was quite henpecked. He was very henpecked. So he kind of like he convinced him, "No, no, you can't do this." Okay. And eventually she convinced him, "You have to apologize for doing this." So you'll see if we talk to them how terrible people they are. So eventually she convinced him. Talked to him. The devotees were, although he knew him quite well, he was a very familiar figure, the devotees were very kind to him, very kind. "No, not at all, no. They were very, you know, you understand, you know. They were very, very, the wife thought, "What are you talking about, my dear husband? You're a nonsense in your way of seeing. These people are very nice." And then instead, every week, instead of throwing things after a while, he started to give things to the devotees. Trying to give like apples, whatever he could. He would give a little gift to the devotees. The devotees would then start giving him a gift, and kind of store on the market, actually. And the devotees would bring samosas, different old gifts for him. Gradually, the reciprocation started giving and taking, prasad and sharing and so on. Started taking place in positive, loving exchanges began. And Krishna catches different people through the devotees. They awaken a fresh in people's heart. So gradually became attracted, eventually came to the temple, and they started to get very interested in it. And then we got initiated together in 1972. Both he and his wife. Even though they started, he did, in rather a negative way, you could say, at least. But somehow, because the divorce, are manifesting that attraction, which is really Krishna, he became attracted. So whatever it is that attracts one, that's fine. It's a form of devotional service manifesting through different ways. The internal energy is capturing people. Like now we're captured by the external manifestation or the reflection of the internal energy, which is how to turn it towards Krishna's. So the devotee means one who just turns things, dovetails probably just dovetails the energy towards Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, go high, and